Okay, today is March 1st, 2018. What is your name?
Krista Tony.
And where do you live?
1222 CR30 Ashland.
So where is that from Ashland?
That is on Old 31, about 3 miles east and half a mile north.
Of
the highway.
Highway 34?
Of Old Highway 34. Not the north-south road, the one that goes to protection.
Right. So, when did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire? Oh, I was going to ask you what your occupation is.
Housewife.
Okay. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
It was that afternoon. It was the day after Arden's birthday, so I will remember it forever. But I was going to town, and I saw in the distance, because I come in from the east, and it looked really cloudy or something. And as I got closer, I felt like it was smoke.
Right.
And I went to the post office and did my thing, and I heard something about evacuating Ashland. And so I asked the postmistress there. I said, are they going to evacuate Ashland? And she said, yes, the fire is just south and west of here. And it was at that point I realized I need to go to my mom and dad's house and help them evacuate because they're both over 80.
So when you went to their house, where did you suggest that they evacuate to?
We didn't know at the time. Well, at the time, they just thought they were going to evacuate. So right. We didn't know for sure. And I said, we talked about what we might do. So I said, well, let's call the sheriff's office. And so we called the sheriff's office, and they said, yes, we are going to evacuate. You all need to go to Greensburg. Or not Greensburg. Cold water.
Yeah.
Cold water. And okay. So we got a few things together. My mom decided she wanted to drive their little pickup and have my dad ride with me. My dad is 82 now, 83,
right.
And he has Alzheimer's. So, but she wanted him to ride with me in our car. And we started to take off, and I said, do you want to get your cat? And she has an old cat.
Right.
And she said, no, I feel, we looked outside, and the wind had shifted to the north, from the north. She says, I don't think it's going to hit, so let's just go to the cemetery and watch it. So we went out to the cemetery to see what the fire was going to do, if it was going to go ahead and come or not.
Uh-huh. Did you notice fire from the north then?
No.
We
sat up at the cemetery for, maybe 10 minutes or so, and the wind really looked like it was blowing the smoke to the south. And Mom says, let's just wait a little longer. She says, if it starts coming back this way, we'll go. So we waited up there, and one of the United guys from United Telecom was in his truck, and he was out there. He came out there, and he said, what are y'all doing? And we said, well, we were just watching the fire. And he says, well, you should probably be aware that there's one to the north. And we looked to the north, and it was just black. And I said, Mom, we're getting out of here. I said, we don't have time to go back for the cat. We're just going. So we headed out then to Coldwater then, and that turned to be kind of a drive-through.
So when you were going east to Coldwater, did you run into any smoke or fire?
Oh, my, yes. It was horrible almost the whole way. It was just black and I couldn't see in front of me farther than the car ahead of me.
Was there somebody in front of you?
There was. There was still a line. I caught up to the line of people going that were heading out.
Uh-huh.
And we passed protection just about the time they were evacuating because they were turning into the traffic.
Uh-huh.
And quite honestly, if the person ahead of me would have gone into the ditch, I would have just followed because I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
And there were in places there was fire on either side, but it was just black until we got just a mile or two of that road that goes north into Coldwater.
So did you stay in Coldwater?
We went to a friend's house. It was Chris and Caitlin Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
We might know her as Caitlin Nyer. And we had called ahead and asked if we could stay, and they said yes to come on. So we went there, and meanwhile, I called Arden to let him know, my husband Arden, to let him know what was going on, because he was at our house. For some reason, that day, he was home early, and he was at our house when I left, and he didn't know all of this was going on until I called him, and I said, I'm with Mom and Dad. I said, I'll be coming home soon. He said, okay, just be careful. Life was good. About 20 minutes later, he calls, and he says, I have the critters packed. He said, I'm coming to Coldwater. He said, the barn caught fire. It caught my shed on fire. We're going to lose everything. And so he hung up. And so we waited, and 20 minutes later, he was still not there, which is about how long it usually takes us to get to Coldwater.
Right.
40 minutes later, he was not there. I was texting him. No answer. I called him. No answer. I called him several times and no answer. I was starting to panic. He finally calls me back. He says, I think I can save the house. And I looked at Chris and I was just horrified. And Chris says, we can't let him do this alone. And so Chris took me to our house, and that was another drive through horrible fire and smoke. The road, you know, the dirt road that goes from Coldwater.
To Protection.
Well, it doesn't go to, well, yeah, it goes to the road that goes to Protection. It's, I don't know what they call it. Anyway, we, on that road, it wasn't so bad, but after we turned to go north, into Clark County, it was, I have a couple of pictures of that.
Was it dark?
It was by that time. By that time, it was just into the evening, you know, and so it was dark.
Like 6:30?
Yeah, 6:30-ish. I'm not even sure. It was really all that happened after that call is just kind of a blur. But we happened to see Stevens sitting at the side of the road, and we stopped to see if we could help him, and he said no. He said, I'm just watching my house burn, because at that time he thought his house was burning. It was the old house, but... So we went on, and we got there, and Arden just had a garden hose,
right?
And everything, there were just flames everywhere. I walked, our house was still okay, but he was trying to work on the north side of it, which was being scorched, and it wasn't so much from flames as it was just the heat of his workshop was just that hot, that you... And
so what kind of like grass and trees do you have around your homestead?
Well, the thing that killed us was we have a tree road to the north of us.
Is it pretty close?
It's probably like 100 yards, maybe like a football field away. And that's what had happened. It had gotten caught on fire from that north fire.
Right.
And the wind had blown the sparks on top of all of our buildings. And the fire did not catch us from the ground up. It was from the sparks from the trees in the tree row that caught everything on fire.
So the barn, the shop, did you have a garage?
We had my grandma and grandpa's old house, the house that...
The Valentine house?
Yeah, that we raised our kids in.
Right.
It was in total flame. I have a picture of that one, too. It was in total flames when I got there. The barn, we lost the barn. We had two barns out there. Well, a barn and an old shed. We lost our granary. Of course, the tree row, we lost that. There was another old shed out there that was pretty well gone, and it burned, too. But we lost everything except our house.
Did you lose equipment?
Yes. Now, we didn't lose... Most of the equipment was old stuff. We didn't lose our good tractor because it was right there by on the west side of our house, of the new house, which didn't get burned.
Right.
And also our old tractor or older tractor was there, but we lost several trailers and stuff like that. We lost a gasoline tank, which that wasn't a miracle because we had one tank that was filled with gas. There's two tanks sitting there. One that burned down was the one that was not full, and the other one survived without blowing up. It was just amazing. Our propane tank there was just a ring around it that was not touched by fire. There was charred grass on all the way around it. But the propane tank itself was not harmed.
So did this burn all night? Or?
Yes.
So you stayed out there and watched everything burn. What about Arden's tools?
A lot of his daily tools that he uses on his daily construction things were okay because they were in his pickup.
Right.
And he has toolboxes that he keeps those in. And so a lot of those were saved. But a lot of his big things, like his lathe, his drill press, his, the really big, the air compressor, a lot of his big items, a lot of items that he had gotten from Lonnie Carter.
Right.
When he worked for him, those were all just melted into little lumps of nothing.
So when the sun came up, what did everything look like? Did you have lots of people stop by and try to help? Or
no.
Did you see anybody come by?
Caitlin had called 911 for us.
Right.
Because she, of course her husband at that point was out there too. And one of the Ashland officers, I can't even remember who it was. Again, like I said, some of that is just a blur. They came out and said, "We're sorry. We just don't have anybody else.
Right.
Everybody is fighting somewhere." And that was the only person that came out, because by that time, everyone was other places.
Yeah.
There was just no one left.
So did you also lose fence and pasture?
Oh, yeah.
Did you lose cattle?
We did not have cattle, so we did
so
not lose.
So just that. Mainly pasture?
Just the pasture. We lost all ours. Mom and Dad lost some. We lost a corner of our wheat field, of the wheat. Even though it was green, it burned so hot that it actually, just a corner of it was burned.
So did you have smoke damage to your house?
We did not.
You didn't have to have any cleaned or?
I did my own cleaning.
Right.
There was a lot of ash mostly the next day because, the next day was windy as well.
Right.
And we came home, when we went to church that Sunday, when we came home, there were whirlwinds. There were like three of them, and they were just blowing the ash up into the sky.
Right.
And so for weeks afterwards, I was cleaning ash.
Did you have electricity?
Praise God, we did.
At your house?
That was another one of those miracles. There were so many miracles that I just saw this hand of God's protection over us. It was amazing. Where the electricity is, the pole, our pole, it was out there next to the tree row that burned. And that did not burn down. And we had electricity until the next morning, which we could not have run the water. Well, we might have been able to get our generator started, but that was just amazing that we had the water.
So you had electricity and water, so you could actually
squirt. I mean, the only thing we had was that one hose, and because all of our water hydrants were by buildings that were in flames, so we could not use them.
There.
So he went in and hooked it up to the hot water heater, because the hot water heater
has a drain.
And he drained it. So we used hot water to save our house. But
it worked, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when did you return to Coldwater to get your parents, or did they make their own way home?
Since Mom had the pickup, they stayed overnight with them, and then the next morning, Mom said, "Don't worry, we'll make it home okay." She said the roads are good and it's clear, and so they drove home, and Mom was okay with driving home.
Yeah. So did you spend a lot of the next, like you said, the next couple of weeks cleaning up around your place?
Yeah, yeah. We had a crew come out and help us, of townspeople, of people Arden had worked with and stuff. And
they come on Tuesday?
Wednesday? I can't tell you what days they came. It may have been Tuesday or Wednesday, somewhere in there, somewhere during that week.
Because they
came out a couple of days, and they got the place where the old house had been scooped up, and they got a lot of the tin and stuff moved out. We had an old silage pit that we use as a kind of a dump that we're trying to kind of fill in. And they came, and Russ Hensley brought his little machine and helped us there. And River Boys brought their truck for us to haul things. Kayla came home that week. She just told them, hey, I'm going home.
So, what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Oh, I think watching my grandparents' house burn down. Yeah. Although that moment when I didn't know where Arden was, I remember that was terrifying.
Until he called you back.
Until I finally heard from him.
Yeah.
And there were several.
And so where was Faith?
Faith was at college at the time. So, I mean, she was, you know, texting me and all of that. But she chose not to come home until summer, so she didn't see it until things had
greened back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame her. Yeah. It was a hard thing.
Yeah. You've lived out in this country for a long time now, again.
Yeah.
And you've seen grass fires.
Oh, yeah.
Up that way and stuff. And you've probably seen controlled burns or where they actually set a fire or something. Did what you saw compare to any of those?
It was worse than any of those. Even the one, there was the one that came up really close, and I can't even remember what year that was. It came up really close to Hardin's place. It was to the south. It kind of hit out there in the hills more.
Mm-hmm.
That was from a cigarette. Somebody had tossed a cigarette. But even that had no comparison to this one. Because when I looked out there, there was nowhere that you could look that there wasn't fire. I could see fire almost to Buckland, you know, and to protect. It was just all around us. There was no direction that I could look that there wasn't fire.
So did you ever seen houses on fire before or buildings like that? Is this?
I had. I've lived in cities and stuff before, so I had seen it. But I'd never seen it my own house.
Where you weren't able to get anything out of any of the buildings?
No. No. They were just, when they went, like, well, they were old.
Right.
You know, and they just went like wildfire, literally.
Did they explode?
There were no explosions when I was there. I don't know if anything exploded when my husband was trying to put stuff out. Like I said, the propane tank.
So in, like, the trees, when the tree row, was it already on fire when you got there?
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't hear any of the trees exploding?
No. As a matter of fact, a lot of them were already, I mean, some of the ones closer to the house and stuff were still flaming. But, you know, even them, a lot of them were mostly, it was up high in the branches that they were burning.
Was the wind blowing really hard?
Oh, my gosh. It was horrible.
Had the temperature changed? Was it very cold?
It wasn't really cold. It was cold enough. By the time I got out there to help Arden, I wanted a jacket, depending on where I was standing, because sometimes if you were standing downwind of the heat, it was too hot.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to haul water out and save our old wheat truck, which I managed to do, because there really wasn't any. There wasn't much we could do to help Arden, because there was only one hose.
No bucket, right?
We had a bucket, but the problem with using the bucket was then it reduced the
amount of
water that he was getting. So, and I did fill up the bucket, like I said, a few times, so that and kept the fire from getting there. Because it was just kind of creeping through the grass. It wasn't like a
roaring fire.
Yeah, it wasn't
over.
It wasn't at that point. The biggest part had already gone through.
Right.
Mostly what it was just our stuff burning then.
The buildings until they completely burned in. So who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful?
Oh, goodness. Well, a big shout out to Russ Hensley for letting us use, and to the Reimers for letting us use their truck, and to my daughter and her friends, Tanner and Hannah Lacey. Or Tanner came out. Hannah didn't come because they had a little girl.
Yeah.
And we decided that was, you know, too smoky for her to come. But to her for letting Tanner come and help.
Yeah.
Mark. I can't think of his last name at the moment. Mark and Katie.
Crier.
Yeah. Mark and Katie. Mark came out and helped a lot. And it was...
Did you have any of the volunteers that came to Tam?
Arden didn't want volunteers because he wanted to go through his tools and stuff by himself, and he felt like other people needed the volunteers worse.
Right.
So, and he felt like we already had a pretty good crew, and so we did not ask the volunteers to come out.
Did you apply for the funds through
the yes, we
Community
did.
Foundation
and
the
KLA? They did bless us very much that way.
So did you come in and eat at the camp or at the high school during that week?
No, we didn't. I think for me, it was too soon to really talk to other people about it and to hear their stories because I was just...
Still trying to deal with your own?
I was still trying to deal with my own, and I guess I'm a family person. And
so how many miles from Ashland is it to come to town?
18.
So it would take a while to get here and go back. So did you volunteer any after the fire?
I did not. I've had a lot of back trouble recently, and it was kind of all we could do to be cleaning up and doing stuff. We would have lost our dog if Arden hadn't been there,
right?
Because our dog pen was right next to his shed.
Oh.
And so we had to build a new dog pen. We had to, you know, there were just other things that I needed to do. I did not volunteer this year.
That's, I wouldn't either. Kind of at the. So what about your emotional response to the fire? Have you done anything to kind of deal with the loss that you've
you
suffered?
You know, it took me a long time. I'm just starting to deal with the loss. Because we were so blessed in that we still had our house.
Right.
And for a long time, I didn't feel like I could grieve over what was lost.
Yeah.
Because other people had lost their homes. They had lost their pets, you know. And we had all of that. We had our house left. We had all of our critters.
Right.
We didn't have to go out and shoot cattle. We had our propane tank. Mm-hmm. We were so blessed. And for a long time, it was hard for me to realize that it was okay to grieve the things that I lost. Because they are just things.
But, and they were different things.
But they were, and they were important things of the past. There were several antique pieces that my grandma had.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of the kids' toys and stuff that we stored in the old house.
Right.
There were a lot of memories over in the old house that burned.
Had you brought some...
Yeah,
of the things over to your house.
Some of the really more important, you know, things we did. And of course, you know, anything, you know, that we use, we had over there.
Yeah.
But like some of the kids' toys, you know, that weren't as important. Some of our, I had all my pictures over in the new house. So, like I said, they were just things, but like some of our old Christmas decorations that we don't use as much. A lot of furniture we hadn't brought over just because we didn't have room for it yet, and I didn't know where I wanted to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And my bread maker, I don't use it often. It was over there.
Missed that, huh?
And now it's like, oh, now I want to make bread.
So the things you did lose, do you have something that you miss the most?
Something I miss most. I don't know. I think some of my grandma's things that we didn't get brought over, I miss. But again, we were fortunate because we did take a lot of the most important things out.
Mm-hmm.
So... Like I said, it's been hard for me to say, okay, it's okay to grieve.
Right.
Because we were so fortunate.
Yeah.
And God really watched over us. There were so many miracles.
Yeah. Throughout the whole county.
Throughout the whole county. Personal ones, countywide, just statewide. The fact that there was only one person lost here in Ash, you know, around here was just as horrible as those fires were.
So, what do you think the fire caused you more, physical or financial? The effect of the fire, is it more a physical thing because of the loss, or is it a financial or emotional?
Oh, goodness. It would be easy to say financial because my husband lost quite a bit. And, you know, they had a lot of programs for cattle and all of that, but they really didn't have a program to cover tools lost in sheds.
Right, that's true.
And, like, he had a $47,000 lathe out there. I mean, he just, all of his big stuff is gone, and some of that we will never be able to replace because he had gotten them at sales, and some of them Lonnie had given to him, and
yeah.
So those things are financially there. Emotionally, it was really hard to lose the old house. That house has been a part of me, my life, since I was a baby.
Was it 100 years old? Or close?
It was close. It was close. It was at least 80.
Yeah. So you have a ways to drive into town and to drive back home. And so how had the landscape changed from before the fire till after the fire? I mean, what types of things were missing?
when it first happened, everything was just black. Yeah. You know, just, I was like, whoa. The things that I see now are the trees. Trees that didn't burn to the ground, but they didn't live. Mm-hmm. And you can see the black charring and some of the houses that are no longer there. Otherwise, things really have started looking more.
Are there any landmarks that are gone that you used to depend on? Or?
No, there are none of those. Like I said, some of the houses, the one that for some reason touches my heart is the Wilson House. You know, there when we go that direction to protection, that one always made me really sad. But other than that, the trees really are what catch my eye because they just look very sad with all charred and burned.
Were there a lot of dead cattle up in your area?
Not as much. We had quite a bit of wheat. You know, west of Ashland, there's very little farm ground. A lot of the farmers got their cattle onto the wheat pastures. There were some. We had one of the things that hurt my heart was we had a deer at our house that had to be put down because her front hooves had been burned completely off. That was really hard, but wildlife. It was mostly wildlife. Mm-hmm. Around our house, it was really sad.
Like coyotes too, and
no, I didn't see any coyotes.
Mostly deer.
Mostly deer. There were two feral cats that got caught underneath our old house that I didn't even know were out there.
Yeah.
That they found. That kind of made me sad. It made me sad that I didn't even know they were there, but it also made me sad, you know, that they happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. So can you perceive of anything positive that resulted from the fire?
Anything positive? I think the most positive thing I saw was the way that the community came together and the way people from out of state heard. I mean, you know, one of the things that really made me angry was the way that it was not on the news. You know, not even Wichita much, but nothing on the national news. And yet people from Wisconsin and people from Michigan found out about it and they brought things, you know, that I cried when I saw all the hay and stuff come in from other people. If there was any good that came out of it, that was it, to see that, yes, there are still good people.
Right.
In this world and in this community and in this state. And
did you see any of the caravans that came in?
Yes, I did. And it just, that did my heart good. It did.
Yeah. So what are some things you have done or you plan to do to prepare for a future fire?
Move away from Kansas. I think one of the things is that we will have metal buildings with metal roofs.
Mm-hmm.
If we replace the roof on our house ever, it will get a metal roof. And I don't know what you do about a tree row. We're old enough now, we probably won't ever plant another tree row. So just burning stuff, trying to keep. This year, the weeds have been so horrible. Because we had so much rain afterwards, and the weeds kind of got out of control. So trying to keep the weeds down is a big huge thing, and we are going to try, and we're still in the process of cutting down trees, that were burnt.
Is your pasture looking? I know it came back and looked green and stuff, but what's it look like now?
Now it looks like a weed patch.
More weeds than grass.
More weeds than grass. Unfortunately, we have Paul Harden's cattle on there now, so they're kind of tromping down the weeds, and we've just been kind of trying to do burns when we can, but it's just been so windy that that's been difficult.
Right. So, and what about the community? What can the community do, or has it done, to prepare for future fires or future emergencies?
Not being in town a lot, I'm not sure what they are doing. I'm not sure what they can do because we can't afford to pay firemen to be there, and the fact was there just wasn't enough. I think everybody keeping their tree rows and stuff would help, mm-hmm. but when you have a fire of that size and you have winds like we have, I'm not sure that there's much that you can do to stop it ever.
Yeah,
I mean keeping your if everybody had a tank that they could keep, you know, out on the farm and what have you, but that's just not feasible. It's just not feasible.
They could come from a different direction, too.
And they did. That was the other thing that really touched my heart. We're all the volunteer firemen, mm-hmm. not only from our community, but from surrounding communities that came. And
did you see some of the trucks, the strike teams? Were they out in your area?
Yeah, they were. They were taking care of other people's fires, but there were different colors of engines it really did touch me how people responded to it. And I think that's what saved Ashland. I think that's what, I mean, it was where the farmers and what have you that got out there and disced and did what they could. And that was a big thing for me.
So do you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share about this experience?
I think it's a 1 in 100 years event. And it's just as soon as it wait at least another 100 years before it ever happens again. God forbid that it ever happen again. But, you know, it has given me a perspective when I see the fires in California, when I saw the fires in Montana. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing that touched me big time, was Ashland was in there sending stuff to Montana.
Yep.
And, you know, we have a good place here. We have good people.
Yep, we do. So are you guys going to try to rebuild some of your sheds and...
Arden is going to rebuild a new shed, one shed, mm-hmm. to house everything. And it's going to be a tin building, and it's going to have a tin roof.
So good.
And I don't know that having more hydrants would have helped us. I don't think it would have. I just don't know what else we could have done better, other than maybe keeping our tree row cleaner. But like I said, that's not a problem anymore.
But if it came through the air,
yeah.
You know.
But see, and who knows, if we hadn't had the tree row, maybe.
Wouldn't have been in the air.
It wouldn't
that's
have.
That's a what-if game, though.
Yeah, that's a what-if game. And you know what? You kind of need tree rows because it is just too windy without them. And so all of the things that I can think of that would help are just not feasible.
And it's kind of a, besides this windbreak, it's kind of a snow break, too.
It's a there. Snow, yeah, because it was to the north of us, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Anything else?
That's all.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing your experience.